fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning and happy Easter, friends. I want to continue today to talk about some of these amazing and inspiring readings that the church gives us in this octave of Easter. It's important for us to be able to continue to celebrate Easter and not just let it stop on Sunday. You know, the church year is a great journey for us. The church in her wisdom takes us through the paschal mystery. That is the whole life of Jesus, his birth, life, you know, passion, death, and resurrection, his ascension into glory. And we're drawn into the whole story. And remember now, this is just not a religious myth. It's not some just a consoling myth that the church created. What we're talking about is the fact, the historical fact of Jesus' life, passion, death, resurrection, and his ascension into glory. And the church is built on this entire life and mystery that we call the paschal mystery of Christ. The last couple of days I've been talking about some of the readings and some of the texts that were given at Mass each day this week. It's good to follow it because what we're given is the core of the preaching of the church. It's called the kerygma, the basic proclamation, the germ cell, the seed, you might say, from which the whole church has grown. The apostles, as Peter talked about earlier in the week in that passage from Acts chapter 10 in his proclamation to Cornelius and his whole household about the truth of what happened in the life of Jesus. Peter proclaimed that truth and he showed to us what are the fundamental principles, the fundamental realities of who Christ is in his passion, death, and resurrection. And then at the end of that passage, he says very clearly, we were commanded by Jesus to preach. Preaching is important. In some parts of the church today, there's a kind of allergy against preaching for some reason. And I think it's kind of summarized in the phrase attributed to St. Francis, talking about evangelization, said, supposedly Francis had said, evangelize, and if necessary, use words. Most of us don't feel comfortable using words, so we don't find it necessary to use words. Truth is, Francis never said that. And he never said it because it doesn't really ultimately make sense. I mean, that little folk saying that's attributed to him is positive in a certain way to say, if necessary, use words, because your whole life is meant to be a witness. It's meant to be a proclamation. Your life is meant to be a living testimony. And let your life be the first message that's proclaimed. But I think sometimes it's interpreted as it's better not to use words, or that somehow using words is just not a good thing, and it's too much, it's imposing yourself on other people. And it's a misreading, it's a misunderstanding. It's the church's evangelistic mission, and what we see unfolding very clearly in the teaching of the apostles is its words and deeds. It's not just deeds, it's words and deeds. It's proclamation and the witness of life. And it's important to see it because actually God intends to save the world through the proclamation of the gospel. Now, Jesus Christ is the Savior, and he brings about the possibility of salvation for the whole world. But the key is, and St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, that God, in his wisdom, has planned, has determined that salvation would come to one heart at a time through the proclamation of the good news about his Son. And each person receiving in their hearts the message of Jesus and who he is and the truth about what he's accomplished for us. And we take it into our hearts, which demands a change of heart. We call that repentance, the recognition of Jesus' diagnosis of the human condition, receiving that and believing that Jesus alone is God's provision for the salvation of each and every one of us. It's Christ's death and resurrection that's essentially proclaimed. So St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that God has decided through the foolishness of what we preach. What's the foolishness? A crucified Messiah, risen from the dead, reigning at the right hand of God the Father forever. He's the source of the forgiveness of sins for the world. And he's the doorway, therefore, to escaping death and the power of sin and entering into eternal life. Paul makes it clear, God has decided through the foolishness of what we preach to save those who believe. So preaching is right at the heart of the church's mission and what the church really exists to do. So what we're given this week in the readings at Mass is some of the core preaching of the gospel. And so I want to just touch on some of that again today, both from yesterday's reading, and then I'll touch a little bit on today's reading. Yesterday, which would be April 7th, was Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost. Peter put it this way. He said, on the day of Pentecost, the reading says, Peter said to the Jewish people, now this is Acts chapter 2, verse 36 and following. Up to this point in the second chapter there, what's recorded there is Peter's gone through the historic reality of who Jesus is, that he works signs and wonders, that God commended Christ to everybody through the works of signs and wonders and works of great power, made it clear who he was. The deeds that Jesus performed confirmed the words that he proclaimed about himself, who he was, and what he was calling us to do. The reality of the kingdom of God was present, made manifest through his preaching, his life, and the signs and wonders that he performed. The kingdom of God had actually come, entered into this world. And Peter said, you crucified him. But God's plan was to raise him from the dead because death could not hold him down. There was a life in Christ that's now entered the world that was stronger than death. It's in his person. It's not just a vague force out there. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus has the power to communicate his indestructible life to whomever he chooses. That's why Jesus is the only Savior of the world. He's the source of eternal life for every single person. So Peter goes on now speaking. This continues what he spoke about yesterday. He says, therefore, let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Here is one of the clearest teachings, the clearest proclamation of the core of the Christian message. God has made Jesus, this historic person, Lord and Christ. What does that mean? We don't use the word Lord very much anymore, you know, in democratic societies. It means that Jesus, what he claimed for himself is true, and that is what? All power and authority belong to him. Jesus has total power over all of creation. He's the king of the kingdom of God. C.S. Lewis calls him the young prince of the universe. I love that phrase. But so all power and authority over every person, every force, every dimension of creation is in Jesus Christ. Creation was set forth with a purpose. That means your life was set forth for a purpose. Jesus has come to claim each and every dimension of the Father's creation, to make all things new, including you. We have to be made new, each and every one of us. Because we were made old, we were separated from God because of sin, which Jesus dealt with on the cross. The future of everything, the future of the human race, is in the hands of the one who has all authority and power over it, and that's Jesus Christ. And it's important for us to see he also conquered evil. So the devil sometimes likes to rise up and act like he's God, that he's the one with the power, that he's the one who is in charge. Some people are afraid of him. And if you're in Christ, there's no need to fear him. If you're not in Christ, there's a big reason to fear him, because he is stronger than you. You need the power of Christ that's in you, the Lord of all, alive and present in you, to be able to conquer the world of flesh and the devil. So Peter's proclamation is that Jesus, the one who was crucified, was raised from the dead, and now he's Lord. It's not just that he passed from death to life, but what it means that he passed from death to life includes and leads to this truth, that he's now become the Lord of all. He's now the head of the new human race, you might say, the new humanity that's born anew through him in the waters of baptism, that share in his new creation. So number two, he's the Christ, the one prophesied through the Old Testament, who's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's the Spirit that Jesus gives to us that brings us from death to life. He said, this one you crucified. Now we get to the heart of the response. And here's the You might say the itinerary or the heart of the church's teaching. What is the message the church wants to communicate to the whole world? Peter declares this fact, and because Christ Jesus now is Lord and Christ, and authority belongs to him, and he will be the one to come to judge the living and the dead, how should we respond? Peter goes on. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they asked Peter and the other apostles, "What are we to do, my brothers?" Peter said to them, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises made to you and to your children and all those who are far off, whom the Lord our God will call." Here it is, friends. This is what it means to become a Christian. This is what it means to enter into the church. Repent. That means change the direction of your life, turn toward God, toward his Son. Open your heart and receive him. Jesus said, "Believe in me." That means he who believes in me will have eternal life. Belief is the radical abandonment of our heart and mind and will in trust to God. Jesus, I believe you. I entrust my life to you. Your diagnosis of my life is absolutely true. Your call on me, it's my duty to respond, Lord, I surrender my whole life to you, and I want to live in relationship with you forever. So we repent, we believe, we turn. It says, repent, be baptized. That literally means enter the waters of baptism. This is where Catholics can differ from some Christian denominations that don't look at baptism more like a symbol. The Catholic Church believes, Jesus said, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We're put to death in baptism and we're raised to eternal life. It's in baptism that we're united to the crucifixion of Jesus, to his death, and to his resurrection. So repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, not in the name of anyone else. It's Jesus who can put you to death and raise you again. It's Jesus who shares with you the power of his indestructible life. It's Jesus who is the beginning of the new creation. It's already begun in him. We want to be like him. Buddha's not the man. Muhammad's not the man. Nobody else can do this. Jesus Christ is God's only son. All right? So be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins. Each one of us need to have our sins forgiven so we can enter into relationship with God the Father. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So believing in Jesus, repenting of our sins, being baptized in his name, having our sins forgiven, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and we begin to participate in the new creation. The Holy Spirit given to us in baptism is a down payment of an eternal inheritance that's coming to each and every one of us. This is the essence of Christianity, friends. This is what it's all about, communicating the new life in the Spirit. For the promises made to you and to your children and to all those who are far off, that is Jew and Gentile together. I'll continue this again tomorrow. Hope you can join me. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.